Hey, everybody, before we get the show started, I just want to give a quick comment about something that happened that's kind of sad. Longtime listener and friend of the show, Seamus, his real name is Lee, his mom passed away after a long battle with cancer. Her name was Susan. Her last name was Bulgatz. And she was a really nice lady, and I talked to her a few times myself, and just feel really bad about it. So, Seamus and your family, we hope you guys are doing okay. And that you guys will make it past this. And we're going to miss your mom.
From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains, through the harsh Colombian jungle, and all over the damn American South, this is Extra Life Radio.
This episode of Extra Life Radio is brought to you in part by our sponsors, GoDaddy.com, where the codes Life1, Life2, and Life3 will save you money on your next domains, hosting, and more. This episode is also brought to you by YouBuyNow.com. Use Extra Life as your code at checkout and save 10%. This episode of the show is also brought to you by the generous contributions of Kirby Tennant, Kendra Wilson, Robert Macy, Brian Sharps, Jeffrey Depew, Kindler Samuel, and Paul Fox. This episode is for you. Extra Life. Extra Life.
Extra Life. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Extra Life Radio. This is ELR number 192. Welcome back to the show. It's Monday, August 18th, 2008. We're here to bring you yet another show. We're doing it a day later than usual. Normally, it's Sunday nights. Tonight, we record on the Monday, and we hope you enjoy it, as I hope we will as well. Because when we enjoy it, you tend to enjoy it. When you tend to enjoy it, well, gosh darn it, we tend to enjoy it. So thanks for being here. Let's just jump right in. We have a special guest today. Before we get to him, let's introduce the usuals. Brian Dunaway from MissionDeep.com and Comics Coast to Coast joins us via Skype. Hello, Brian.
Hi, I believe the term is via Skype, but whatever.
Oh, dude, what are you, a girl? Freaking via.
I'm really out of original ways to welcome myself to the show.
You know, there aren't any left. In fact, I should just do it different. Starting next week, I'm just going to go... Brian, God. And you go, yeah, and I'll say, all right, let's talk about stuff. Also joining us from commissioncomic.com, one of the finest comics on the internet. If you haven't read it, you should. Comes to us from Columbia, Obsidian. Obsidian, welcome back.
I agree with Brian.
Do you? But see, you both just did a creative thing. You both just did like something new.
No, I just played off Brian.
Oh, all right. I don't want to hear about your relationship.
All right.
Joining us from Cleveland, Ohio, actually Lakewood, if you really want to be specific, from his
Drew Carey.
He called. he's a national treasure.
Halle Berry.
Joining us from as the host or co-host, as it were, of Jawbone Radio, someone who's been here a lot but not in a very long time, Lenny from Jawbone Radio. Lenny, welcome back to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's good to be on. It's been too long.
Far too long.
Yes. It has.
Far too.
And Lenny is, are you going to allow him to call you that?
Sure.
No, I have to kick his butt after the show.
Dude, so when he calls me, he calls me, leaves me a message, goes, Scott, it's Lenny. So I just call him Lenny.
Yeah, I say Len.
Yeah. No, you don't. He's lying sack.
Dude, no, Nora called.
I have it in my voicemail still from Las Vegas, which we'll get to in a minute.
I don't know.
Scott, you always do this. Scott, it's Lenny. Hey, listen. It's always like you got some deal going down. Like there's some like
I do have a deal. I always got something cooking.
The drop happens at 8. Be there at 5. Blah 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 blah. Anyway, so
I gotta be honest. I don't like the sound of Lenny. It sounds like, you know, your slow brother.
that's why I dropped the knee. You know, because the Len thing seemed like that's cool. But yeah. I guess I can be known as either. So
aren't you worried that the people might be calling you Lynn like a chick?
or something
like
that.
No, it's better than Glenn. Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Oh, Glenn would be terrible. Take the G off. That's horrible.
Is this Glenn? Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Well, if you haven't heard of Jawbone Radio before, you really should go to jawboneradio.com and listen to his fine show, because it's him and it's his wife, Nora. Occasionally, they're wonderful children. And quite often, Nora's brother, Neil, who is a riot. Yeah. And the show is just good fun. So go check it out if you haven't already. All right. See, this finally, I give you, not only are you on again, but I give you proper, like, promotion.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Don't forget Monster by Mail, too.
Oh, yeah, monsterbymail.com. How's it going? Things are going with that. You still doing, like, the monster, the zombie summer thing or whatever? Tell us about it.
Yeah, I actually am doing that. I'm still doing zombies for the summer. I've done over 1,000 of these monsters since we last talked.
Nice.
And I'm still getting orders, man. I'm just keeping it open.
All right.
And people are still finding it, you know. Even people from what we're going to talk about here in a little bit, they're finding me from that. So it's all good.
So
all
Len good. Does the monsters. Obsidian's got some shoes going on. I got a few geeks here and there. Brian, what the hell are you doing?
Nothing.
All right.
I think last night I watched 2 hours of X-Files.
He's living
Brian's
the dream.
He's the idea guy, man. He's coming down with ideas left and right.
That's right.
I'm serious. I'm
constantly bugging the crap out of Lynn. Hey, Lynn, what do you think about this domain name?
I'm telling you, one day, I mean, Brian has all these ideas. One day, he's going to sit down, and then everything's going to come out at once. He's going to stun the world. And the internet is going to burn down.
Announce it right
here,
buddy.
He's going to watch it burn and laugh.
Yeah, watch it. Well, do it right here.
Today I was reading about Leonardo da Vinci, and apparently he is famous for not only being one of the world's greatest minds, he is also famous for being one of the world's greatest procrastinators.
That's true.
So, nice. And I mean, registered, he's only – I mean, there's only like 16 or 15 paintings that are known of that he did during his lifetime. So
I can do
Brian,
that. I'm right
you're
on pace.
Not really. I mean, all you got to do for real is die, and then people will appreciate you.
And Brian, you're like him. He also. I'm going to get hate mail for this, but you know what? I already know who you people are, and I've got your emails from last time. But Brian, he also liked dudes. I wonder if you knew about that.
Nice. Yeah. Very interesting.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, I ain't making that up. Yeah. He liked dudes. Anyway.
Like the dudes.
All right. Just seriously, just resend your same email you sent before. I'll just reread that one. Because it's the same thing. All right. So
look at that. Look at that. Somebody in the chat room is saying that I'm rude. Apparently somebody's new.
Yeah, someone must be new. If you think Bro-O is rude, welcome to your first time. Okay, before we move on, quick announcement. I got to mention a birthday for somebody. Normally, you know, we kind of keep these on the lowdown, a couple here and there, but nothing too major. But we got one from a kid's parents, and I cannot pass them up when a parent does something cool, like get the kid's favorite podcast to mention his name and his birthday, and I have to oblige. I just have to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how could you not? So this kid's name is Clark Holsworth. He is 16 on Sunday, August 17th. So yesterday.
I like that name, Holsworth.
And this is from his parents. So happy birthday, thanks. Clark.
Happy birthday, Clark.
Yeah.
It's your birthday.
Parents.
Right, your parents love you. Stay off the smack.
Stay off the smack. There you go. The crank.
Stay off the smack.
The dingus.
Okay, wait. I'll give him the true birthday message. Clark, use a condom.
Dude. Oh, and Clark, don't let your parents hear this episode. That'd be great.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the responsible thing to do, Clark. You're growing up.
Yeah, now that O has sullied it, you may not want to have him hear it. All right, so
anyway, start feeling funny.
Happy birthday, and you may get hair where there was no hair before. Anyway, okay, let's move on. So something just began and ended last weekend. It was called the Podcast Importer. I keep calling it the old name.
It's now the New
Media Expo. I cannot get portable media out of my head. I don't know why. Anyway, it happened. Len, you got there on Friday. Did you leave Saturday or Sunday? Sunday morning.
First day was Thursday, and the last day was Saturday. It ended early on Saturday.
Now, I got down there, spent some time with Veronica, Randy, Patrick, a number of other people, Molly, other people. And it was fun to see everybody. However, we won't get into my problems. I don't even want to talk about it on the show.
Come on, dude.
I don't. But the whole point of it was that you got there Friday morning, and I was not there later that day to meet with you.
Yes. I had gotten up 5:45 Eastern Standard Time to get on a flight to get to Las Vegas by 10 a.m.
Yep.
Which I did.
Yes.
It was a wonderful flight.
Yes.
And got to the expo floor, checked Twitter and everything when I got to my hotel room, like, oh, let's see where everybody is. Didn't see you there.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what's he doing? Is he still sleeping? And maybe he was partying all night or something, right?
Oh, I wish that's what I was doing.
I see Felicia Day's there. Yeah. Oh, I better go over there and go talk to Felicia and Veronica and everything. So I'm like, okay, great. I'm packing up, getting my crap together, going over there.
Yeah.
So I'm like walking over there and I'm like, dialing your number, like, dude, where are you? Where are you? Are you coming to the floor? I'm here. I'm landed. All this stuff.
Yeah.
No, nothing.
Well, the reason why it's a long, dude, I don't want to tell the whole story, but here's the bottom line. Go read my comic. You'll get the idea about where I spent my Thursday night and most of my Friday morning and a good portion of my Friday afternoon. It got to the point. Here's the bottom line, people. I'm just going to say one big blanket statement about Vegas. All right. If you live there, awesome. If you live in North Las Vegas, you don't even care because that place is great. But if you live down on the Strip, that place is a big, giant cigarette filter. And it is just, it's just not the, okay, if you come down with the upchuck in your guts kind of weird flu, if that, something like that happens to you, the last hellhole you want to be in Vegas or in the world is Vegas. Because you cannot heal there. It's impossible.
But let me ask you this. You obviously got sick.
Oh, I got sick as a dog. Sick as a freaking dog.
Do you think that it was you were sick before you went down, or do you think that you got sick because of the
heat? No. I got sick before I went down there. I could tell it was coming. I was like, nope, I'm gonna go anyway. I'm fighting this. Got all the way down there, did okay for most of the afternoon. The evening started coming about 9, 10 o'clock that night. I was like, oh, okay, we're in trouble. And I am in like the 35,000th room in the freaking Flamingo Hotel. And this thing is packed way in the back, and it has a lovely view of the roof of the damn building next to it. It's beautiful. All right. It's this dinky little room that we're paying way too much money for. Something in that tub stinks.
You don't want to know.
There's actually odors of different sorts throughout. It was a potpourri, if you will, of freaking disgusting smells and sounds.
So were you like at the Super 8 in Vegas?
No, it was the Flamingo. It was supposed to be the Flamingo Hotel.
It was
supposed to be all right. But that thing, you know, I found out later that thing's been up since 47 and they keep just tweaking it. But I think that room was like, anyway, it was bad. And the whole hallway looked like...
So Frank Sinatra was in there before, right?
Yeah, 35 years ago. But yeah. I kept expecting to open the elevator and blood would come out and two little girls would say, come out and play, Scott. I mean, it was that kind of place. Really nasty.
I have to say that the Flamingo does remind me of like a 56-year-old showgirl.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And by the way, the greatest thing I saw my entire time there, we were all supposed to get together to meet for dinner that night. And I got an IM from Veronica who says, we're down in the lobby next to the sexy dancing lady. And I said, I don't know what that is, but sure, we'll see if we can hunt that down. Sure enough, I get out there and there are two nearly naked chicks up on top of some like I don't know what it was. They were doing craps or something.
Not in Utah anymore.
These two girls are taking a crap. The irony was that this little display of these chicks was going on right below the Donnie and Marie show sign they had out there.
Nice. Great family.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. But anyway, that was one of the funnier moments. But the bottom line is that place is a pit. And here's why. Okay, I understand it's good for some kind of convention-y things because then when the conventions and stuff close, everybody can go dabble in their little freaking vices that they all have, you know? It's like, it's hard for me to explain, but here's the problem with Vegas.
Not the Johnsons.
Here's the problem with me.
Right back to the room.
I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't cheat on my wife, and I don't gamble.
So Vegas is a perfect place for you.
Exactly. It's like the opposite place I'd ever want to. You know, I used to go there all the time. We used to drive. It's only 5 hours away, so we used to go there all the time in my teens and my 20s. We'd go down there with friends all the time. I don't know what's changed, but I just can't get over. Like they have me for about a day, and then it's just like, ah, oh, it freaking reeks. And who are these blue-haired women pulling this stuff with giant knuckles? And, you know, who are these people at 4 a.m. on the same slot machine I saw him on at 6 o'clock the night before? Who is that guy? And why is his life like this?
I think if you would have stayed over at the Hilton, it would have been maybe a little bit better. Strip.
I would have preferred
that. The Hilton was like Vegas, but it was like Vegas light. The Hilton didn't have. It wasn't as. It's not as crazy as like the Strip is, and it seemed to be more of like in line with what the New Media Expo was about. I mean, the Star Trek thing there, which is apparently closing in just 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It seemed like a good vibe, Quarks and all that other crap that was down there.
Yeah.
It seemed like a real good vibe.
Yeah, and that's the hotel that had, like, kid stores in it. Like, you could get Oshkosh Bagosh crap in it and, like, toys and things. And I'm thinking to myself, I had this conversation with Patrick in our van, our minivan, as we were going from the expo back toward the hotels, and just talking about how this, I have this love-hate relationship with the place. I like the spectacle of it all, the lights and the craziness, but that all lasts like a number of hours for me, and then it's like everything smells like donkey wiener in here. It's just gross, and it's sick, and it's hot, and everybody just kind of blah. And of course, a lot of this is shaped by the way I was feeling at the time, but I was just like, get me, you know what? I can't do this. We got to go somewhere else. And so we spent the last 2 days or so in beautiful St. George, Utah, which is only about an hour outside of Vegas, hour and a half, something like that. And it's about the same heat. It's like 105, 106 degrees, but nice and dry heat. Nobody's blowing smoke in your face. There's not just, it was just a nice, quiet sort of place to like get better. So that was how that all worked
this,
out.
I got this that text that said, "Hey, I'm in St. George, recovering." And at that time, I had no idea what St. George was. I thought, "Oh my gosh, he's in the hospital. What the hell is in St. George?"
You thought I'd give
so
him like
up
a give
St. George, Las Vegas. Like, where's that hospital? We can go see if he's okay. And I'm like, St. George, Utah. He went back to Utah, man.
You thought maybe I passed an extra big stone or something, and they had to hospitalize me.
St. George's Hospital.
No, it was Vegas. Here's the thing. The Flamingo was nice enough to give us the 2 days that we had paid for the room back, the other two days. And so that was nice. But the nice thing about that was for about half of that total amount of money, we were able to get the best like honeymoon suite at a Ramada in in St. George for those 2 days. And that was really nice. Like this giant hot tub in the bedroom and all that kind of crap. Anyway, but
it's funny because I've heard very similar reviews about Paris. I've been told that Paris is a beautiful place, but that the whole city smells like urine.
I really like Paris.
Have you been to Paris, Len? I've never
I have.
Been.
I have. I really liked it. I thought it was very nice. But no, I don't. What city does stink? And this is only stinks in the summertime. It's Venice.
Venice. Hope we don't have any Venetian listeners.
Yeah. It's Venice. That's a known thing because of the canals and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just during the summertime, all the algae and everything else, and it just stinks bad.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. Now, I'll tell you, the nicest city, the cleanest and best-smelling city I've been in my entire life, anywhere, anytime, was Hong Kong.
See, I would think that city would stink.
Not at all. Now, go into the mainland, get into Shenzhen, home of SARS and other wonderful diseases. That place smells horrible. And it's hot and gross, and I walked out of there feeling like a petri dish of a man. I mean, it was just disgusting. But Hong Kong proper, I don't know if it's because British ran it and they're all uptight or something, whatever. That place is clean, beautiful, gorgeous, awesome. And the streets are, I just loved it there. Hong Kong was wicked great. I would go back there. It was really cool. So maybe the media or the freaking New Media Expo could move there. How about that?
Well, here's the thing, Scott. I hope that it moves east because I went west in order to in fact hang out with you.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen.
That was your whole reason for going, right?
It was one of the reasons. It was one of the big reasons. I tell you, the night before, I was like, oh, I can't wait. I'm like, I'm really excited. It was like Christmas. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get on the plane and go, and I'm going to meet so-and-so, I'm going to meet, Veronica, Randy, just everybody. I was like, oh, this person might be there. You never know who's going to be there. And Scott was like, that's pretty high on the list. And I was really –
Who was that below?
Really,
who was that?
Pretty high. Not like up, just
like
pretty
seven,
high.
Eight. I mean, he was up there.
It was exciting. No, because look, I brought.
He was on the first page. He was on the first page.
I brought my sketchbook and all my pens, yeah, and I thought, you know, it'd be cool if we were going out to dinner one night. Maybe we can just do like an impromptu sketch thing, which would be kind of fun, and yep. and people would have gotten a kick out of that, and yeah. just hanging out with you and stuff would have been fun, and getting the pictures and all the whole thing would have been a lot of fun. So by the time I saw, like, I met Randy around 4 o'clock or so in the afternoon, because he wasn't feeling well either.
No, he was pretty sick that day too. I don't know what his deal was. But
he was like, he couldn't take the cigarette smoke either. So he was, I was like, oh great, so I'm not even going to get to meet Randy. But I got to meet him later, and then he broke it to me later that, oh yeah, Scott went home. I'm like, ugh. What a bummer! So I got
well, not
over
really
it.
Home exactly, but yeah.
You left the building.
Yeah, my goal was to come back that Saturday night if things were going to improve enough that I would just come back, drive the hour and a half back, and hang out with everybody one last time, and just I couldn't muster.
That would have been cool if Saturday. You would have had fun because that was when we had the ELR. Instance meetup there at the Star Trek Experience.
Yeah, there's nothing like an ELR instance meetup that I'm not actually at.
We went out to dinner afterwards at the buffet there, and I said we should have like an empty seat for Scott.
Yeah, you should have had like a little put some mashed potatoes or
and Brian and O.
Oh yeah. What are you saying? We gotta have all. You gotta represent. You gotta have all three of us there. So you could have put a little chili pepper for O on there. You could have had Brian could have just been like mashed potatoes or something.
But I have to say that most of the people that there weren't, I think, with the exception of Samantha Jane, who ended up showing up.
Yeah.
Most of them were instance listeners or members of the guild.
Yeah, there were a lot of guildies there. That's true.
Yeah. So it was kind of an ELR meetup, I guess.
But not so much.
Yeah. You know, there weren't too many ELR people there.
Yeah, and on the whole, and from all reports, especially for the last couple of days, it sounds like the expo itself wasn't all that awesome.
So, it wasn't. You basically I got there at 10:30, and
as compared to previous years, anyway,
I walked the floor in all of about 2 minutes.
Wow!
And then I was like, okay, we're Scott. Let's go get you know.
It's like a dental convention in Britain, dude. Tiny.
It was really small. Well, they've changed it. It's more of kind of a business type seminar now, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people that were there in previous years didn't show up, and you know. But it's still cool. It was a really cool meetup. I got to meet some really wonderful people. It was great to meet Randy in person. It was great to meet Veronica in person.
Yeah.
Which, you know, which was kind of cool because I knew she kind of knew who I was, but I didn't know if she really, like, you know, and I didn't really know how well she knew who I was.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess.
She's really awesome. That's one thing. If I came away from this with anything, it's how genuinely exactly the way I thought she'd be that she was. She wasn't any different than my relationship with her online. And when I saw her, I was like, this is just like we've always known each other. It's weird. And she's so nice. She's totally nice.
She is. She's a sweetheart. She's great.
She is, for sure.
And Patrick is just, he's like one of the coolest guys. I mean, he's just really a cool dude,
yeah,
you know?
He's cool. If all French people were like him, dude, I could get behind the French. That's terrible.
Well, I was kind of with you, though, when I saw that you wanted him to kind of like stay in the country for a little while just to kind of hang out. But, you know, it wasn't going to happen.
It was all good. Well, enough about that place, but... We'll see. I mean, Kim's talking me into going to Cleveland sometime, so we'll see what we can do.
And that's the other thing. I wanted to meet Kim as well. That was another big thing that I was deprived of because you left.
She's so funny because she's anyone who's met her will know this, and Randy knows this because he was here for the Nerdtacular. She is the nicest human being on earth, but she gets around this stuff and hears me yapping away about stuff that she's not, you know, really doesn't really get or whatever. She gets worried that she comes off as quiet or something because normally she's not. She's Mrs. Social. But within these like sort of geek sort of things happening, she feels like she's way too quiet and stuff. I think that's partly why she's like, well, fine. Then what we'll do is we'll make this up to Len and then by going out there and then she'll have Nora to talk to.
That would be so cool. And, you know, and then I was thinking about that. I'm like, that would be so cool.
Yeah, it'd be way fun.
Hey, O, can you come see me?
don't know. See, yeah, Brian. See, I mean, you're on the Eastern Coast. You can come up. We can just have a big meetup.
Yeah,
man.
That's what
awesome.
We should do. And we should fly O out there somehow.
Okay, wait a second. Okay, yeah, Len. Let's solve the problem of getting the O there. How are you going to solve that?
Here's how we do it. I got the plan right here. We figure out a way, get enough sponsorship next year to get Len and family, O and Brian, all flown out.
Wait a minute. Len and family is like
20 people?
No, good 40.
It's like the Brady Bunch. It's like flying the Brady Bunch in.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. And you're Mike Brady? Is that what you're telling us? Wow. He has six wonderful children, if anyone doesn't know. All right, well, we'll talk about that offline because, my hell, we're already 23 minutes into this podcast, and we have
we'll make it happen. We got people working in the background.
We got people we got stuff. We got things going on. All right. We have segment intros, everyone. Listen to this.
Video games!
Video games!
And a big thanks to Scott Fletcher because he made me some new segment intros, which I really like. All right, well, let's just jump right into some normal content here. Obsidian, you're a fan of the Star Wars.
Yes.
Even the crappy ones.
So.
Yeah, even the sucky
ones.
I am
very loyal. I'm loyal, unlike you.
Loyal to the death, unlike me, where I'm very picky and pissed most of the time.
Exactly.
And by the way, that new movie's not getting very good reviews. Kind of like bad reviews. But I'll still see it, because Nick's dying to see it, and we got to go. Actually, Brian, did you take your boys?
No, I haven't went to go see it yet.
All right. Anyway, this is.
I don't think I'll be able to see it for a while, though.
Oh, why not? Didn't open there?
Actually, it opened last Friday, but it's dubbed.
Oh.
Because since it's an animation, they immediately assume dubbed, and I am not going to pay. Like a full movie experience for a dubbed movie.
I think they dubbed it because they said, well, not only is this animation, they said, but then they also said, it's really bad animation, so this will be easy to put voices on. That's what they thought. Anyway. So The Force Unleashed is getting a demo this next week, which means the game's pretty much right around the corner. Len, you're a 360 player. Are you excited about this game?
Actually, you know, it's funny. My son has already prepaid for it for the Wii because he really wants to play.
Very nice.
I'm worried about that, actually.
About the Wii version?
Yeah, because, I mean, I love my Wii, both of them. And,
that's a good one.
And, and I mean, even though I love it and I have a lot of fun with it, I am aware of the fact that it is not as powerful as these other machines.
Yeah.
And I know from what I've read that the team developing Force Unleashed for the Wii is a completely different team from the guys developing it for PS3 and Xbox 360. And all the awesome videos I've been watching and all the trailers and stuff are from the 360 and PS3 versions. So I'm really worried that the Wii version is just not going to be as awesome.
Yeah. Well, all three versions are supposed to be, I mean, just have different playability factors to them or something. So it's that doesn't surprise me that there are three different teams working on
it. Are there three different teams or just one team working on the next gen two consoles?
And it's three different teams.
It's three totally different teams. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I suspect I suspect the content in 360 and PS3 versions will be similar, but Lenny, going to download it, the demo, and check it out?
I think I will. I didn't realize it was coming down, but that's releasing this week.
Sometime this week.
And definitely, I will check it out. All right, they've been excited for it for months.
Here's my concern. All right, this is the reason I even brought this thing up. It's not all about Star Wars, people. I'm concerned that this is a physics simulator with a game tacked onto it. So what I've seen so far looks really nifty. It's like, look at that stormtrooper. He just got chucked over there and he broke that other stuff, and that's neat and everything. I like that. But what I would really like is a really, really great story and game underneath all of that and not just this tech demo. Because so far all we've really seen is the tech demo. We haven't seen...
The story sounds awesome.
I don't know. On the surface, it sounds awesome like the Phantom Menace sounded awesome. You know what I mean? And then that ended up being Pootsky.
You know what, dude? You're just jaded. I mean,
I'm a little jaded. Really? I'm a little jaded.
I mean, the story sounds absolutely awesome. I mean, this is Anakin's apprentice. The guy he is basically – I mean, Darth Vader's apprentice is better said. And this is the guy he is taking and using to basically live out all the stuff they didn't let him do.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, okay.
How much more awesome can you get?
If they pull it off, if they can pull it off, the story's enough for me. It's not that I'm saying it's a terrible story. I just think it's a small story that has some potential, and I hope that they can realize it and push it all the way through.
Well, Scott, have you played Soul Calibur 4? Have you tried that yet?
Not yet, because
no, haven't.
I'm kind of I'm pooped.
Yeah, the apprentice is in there as an unlockable character.
An unlikable character.
unlockable character. So if you play, you got to beat the game. You got to beat like arcade or something with Yoda, and you get the apprentice. So when you get him, if he plays anything like he does in Soul Calibur 4. Force Unleashed is going to be pretty cool. I really like what I've seen of the Apprentice so far in that game.
Yeah. So do you think that's a way for them to kind of get people? I mean, he's not chucking people around, is he, or does he? Is that any of his moves?
Well, you know, it's the Soul Calibur universe, so it's not going to be exactly like the Force Unleashed, but he's got some pretty cool moves in there. Not that they're going to translate over to the Force Unleashed, but. They give him like a little bit of a backstory, a little bit, just, you know, it's, I guess, to kind of just explain who he is. I mean, what they're doing is they're letting you see a little bit about him, and there's a lot of other Force Unleashed things that are coming out that I think are good tie-in. So I don't know. I would be a little bit worried more about the story, if I didn't see this thing in Soul Calibur.
Really? Now, when he comes out, does the voiceover go, "From the sands of the universe, with a smile on the sun, hold your sword up in the air and stick it up your bum"? Do they do that kind of stuff like they do everybody else?
They always. That's the Soul Calibur thing that they do.
That's my favorite thing about those games, dude.
It's a great game. I'm surprised you haven't played it. It's a good game.
Yeah. All right. Well, I played the first one.
But
to
Len,
death.
I do feel the urge to ask. How does it feel to be playing these characters? And because I mean, I've played Soul Calibur. 1 and 2. I haven't played 3. I remember, you know, seeing like Yoshimitsu from
Tekken. He's still in Tekken. It too, by the way. Still in it.
No, but I remember. I mean, he was like a guest character at the beginning, and I mean, it felt reasonable. It felt logical that a character like Yoshimitsu was in this game. But Darth Vader, Yoda, the Apprentice. I mean, these guys don't really fit in there. How does it feel?
Well,
I mean, does it feel as awkward as I think it does?
No. Well, you know what? I thought it was going to be kind of weird, too, when I saw that for the first time. But, you know, not so much. I haven't played Darth Vader, although I think that there were some rumors that he's going to be downloadable content eventually for the 360.
Yeah.
In the 360, you get you get Yoda. I have to say, he fits in pretty well into the whole Soul Calibur universe. What's cool about Yoda is that he's so small you can't pick him up and throw him. So he's jumping around a lot, but it doesn't mean that he's unbeatable.
Does he?
And what's sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going.
Oh, what's also cool about it is that you can bring, you know, there's this whole you can just tweak you can create your own guy and tweak him as much as you want, or you can take existing characters and tweak them all. But it never really feels like you're making a super powerful character because if you're increasing him in one area, you're decreasing him in another area. So
how do you get around this idea of a lightsaber through the chest and everybody's okay?
Like,
Now that's true of the other swords. I get that. Like in the Soul Calibur world, this is an accepted, you know, weapon protocol that you can stab people and cut them in half and do all sorts of things. It doesn't really hurt them and just kind of takes off life. So I get that that world exists and that's the way we mechanically think about it. But it just seems odd to see Vader or the Apprentice or somebody come up and just run somebody through with one of those things and then back off like nothing's gone wrong.
Well, it's the same type of logic where you're hitting Yoda and you're breaking armor off of him. I mean, what are you breaking exactly? You're breaking off a cloak or something. It just
doesn't. But then again, this all takes us back to the conversation about Superman fighting against Mortal Kombat characters.
No, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. I'm actually kind of excited about that game, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
I'm excited because I'm an old school MK fan, and I like the ridiculousness of it. And I can even accept the idea that Superman has trouble against magic. That's been true in the comics. They can totally explain all this stuff away with magic. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah, but if he lands a punch, you're done.
Well, they're weak punches. I don't know.
They're weak punches.
Okay. Yeah, right. He's holding back.
Well, we'll see. Force Unleashed, Brian, you need to talk more, man. What do you think about this game? On your radar at all? Any interest?
I'm with these guys. I really want to play the Force Unleashed, but I just don't know if I want to play on the Wii, and I don't have any other consoles to play on right now. And it's kind of I want to play it, and I've seen it on the PS3, the little demo.
Yeah. What'd you think?
Videos, but whatever. Well, it's cool. mighty cool.
You sound damned excited. All right, before we take a break.
Well, that's the thing. I'm excited about it, but I really can't do anything about it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I did, have your kid buy it for you.
It's like those stripper girls in
Good
Vegas.
Good idea. Lynn's on it.
So is that why you have so many kids, Lynn?
They're at an age now where they can buy the games for themselves, and I just play them.
Hey, wait, quickly. One rumor I heard about Vegas, and Lynn, you were there. You have to confirm this. Is this true or not? Did Sebastian indeed work the poll? In front of everyone. No?
If they did, I missed it. And,
thank goodness
thank
for
God.
That. Yeah, thank goodness for that. All right, top six enemies of all time. Let's do this before the break. This was an interesting list, I thought. I want to see if we agree with at least the top three. This is their top six of the worst enemies in all of video game time.
Wait a minute,
and
but
space.
Worst as in good?
Yeah, meaning the best. Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Worst is...
Top six enemies, correct. Number six, Sinistar. Remember that guy? Big head floating around in space?
No.
Sinistar. Oh, dude, come on. You really don't remember this? You don't remember Sinistar? Oh, game rocked. It's an arcade game, but anyway.
Yeah.
That's back when you were on the, I was going to say the reservation, but that's not correct.
Yeah.
number five, the Flood from Halo. Meh, they're all right.
I'll agree with that one because I remember that. When playing Halo, one of the most stressing aspects was when you started seeing all those little like bugs or whatever they were. You start seeing them pouring in, and that really made you feel like it was just all over. I remember a lot of anguish from that game in that aspect. So that really makes it a good enemy.
I also liked how they were kind of mushy and goopy and... really well animated, and they kind of had a cool feel to them. They never really freaked me out, but I guess they're a good enemy to fight, which is all the criteria we have here. Number four, the chainsaw guy from RE4. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Scared the pee out of me. I don't know why they don't. It's just one of these should be everything you fought in the original Silent Hill. That's what one of these should be.
Yeah.
You fought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything you killed or that killed you. Let's see, head crabs in Half-Life.
I won't agree to that one.
You won't agree?
I mean,
head
crabs were cool, but I wouldn't consider them to be one of the most awesome enemies from video games. I would consider the Combine itself, but not the head crabs specifically. I mean, they were cool, just not...
Oh, you're saying once the head crab took hold, then that thing was scarier. Or cooler.
No, I'm just saying that the Combine itself was cooler.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that head crabs were annoying. If this was a list of the most annoying enemies, those annoyed the hell out of me. Number two, Evil Otto from Berserk. No idea what that is.
No. Stupid. Fail.
Well, wait. Tell me what that is because I can't remember. I played
Berserk.
Don't
you remember Berserk? Yeah, he's the guy. Ago. He's the little... jumpy thing, the happy face that came in.
Face thing?
Yeah, that's him.
That's stupid. This list just got stupid.
Let's see, that's number two?
That's number two.
What's number one?
Number one, take a guess, Len, what you think number one. I already told these other two what it is, so take a guess what you think number one is.
If it's not the thing from Bioshock, what's that thing called again?
Oh, you are absolutely correct. The Big Daddy is number one.
Big Daddy, man. That thing is the best.
those things were awesome. That whole dynamic was so great. That's a game I'd like to play one more time.
Okay, that list just got cooler again. Sorry.
Yeah, it got stupid at two, redeemed itself at one.
It's just too small. You know, I hate these lists because, of course, there are some that you would include. I mean, that you would include, and that's, you know, like very personal. But there's a lot of stuff that they didn't include there, and that's why I
like Eggman.
I enjoy. I mean, I normally enjoy reading these types of lists a lot.
Yeah.
But normally they suck.
Well, Brian, you're thinking of Dr. Robotnik, of course.
Yeah.
Not Eggman. Let's have a fight. I'm kidding. I always hated they had two names for that
game. Well, you know Sonic is my favorite game anyway.
Yeah, you love the Sonic, don't you?
Yeah.
Sucker. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, lots more, including some movies, a little bit of tech if we get to it. So join us again, won't you? For me, for Brian, for O, and for Len here. While we talk about crap that no one cares about. We'll do that right after this break. Mr. Bubbles, I've got a rash, Mr. Really? Someone said that to you?
No.
Like you were the little...
I was talking to Ivan about Bioshock. That's a great game, man.
Oh, Bioshock's awesome. All right, we're back, people. Welcome back to the show. I had to record a little of that without Lynn knowing it. The little girl. What were they called in that game? The little girls, what were they called?
Little Sisters.
Little Sisters, that was it. Yeah.
Mr. Bubbles.
Those guys were hard as crap, though. They were so freaking hard to fight. I hated fighting them, too, because I felt bad for them.
That was what was so awesome about them. I mean, to me, what really made video game enemies awesome was the level of difficulty in a certain way. I mean, you knew when you started hearing, like, the stomping and the noise they would make and all that. I mean, you knew you were in for it. and that was really the awesome thing about it. I sort of remember older games being somewhat more difficult. Maybe it's because I was younger and, you know, kids are stupid. So, you know, maybe it's because I was young and stupid. But I always like difficult games.
Yeah. And that game struck me
pretty
difficult.
I don't know
what
you guys think about that game.
No, I like easy games. If I can't play it on easy, forget it.
Now, here's the barometer if a video game enemy is good, is when he kills you, you're like, you think that's cool. Like, I'll check that out.
Yeah, and him killing you was something else when those things would get you. But I just hated the whole, they took forever to die. So every time I had to kill him, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to kill another one of these. And this is one of the big ones, the rosy ones with the freaking giant drill bit in her hand and all that.
But that was what made Bioshock so cool. I mean, you have to kill this guy like 1,000 times in the game over and over again because something Bioshock did not have was variety in the enemies. And but still, the way you could play Bioshock made it so that each and every single time you went up against a big baddie, you can make it a completely different experience. And it was awesome that way.
Yeah. Or you could kind of tiptoe around him if you wanted to.
And I never had enough damn ammo, though. I never had enough stuff. That was my problem with that game. That stuff dropped not nearly quick enough, and you would go through it so quick. And it took like 12 canisters of freaking death bomb plus, you know, shotgun to the face using explosive shells 8 times before you could take that guy down or even get him close. And I just run out of ammo and show up in the little chamber and run back and shoot him a few more times with a pistol and then die again. And it just got ridiculous for me, but it was still a great game. I'm looking forward to a sequel for that more than I am almost anything else.
You're making me want to go play Bioshock now, man.
Let's do it.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm playing it right now.
You're Brian fired it up.
I got my big daddy suit on.
You know what I'm playing right now?
What?
What I'm replaying right now?
What?
Lost Vikings.
Oh, no way, dude.
Oh, yeah. That
was classic.
I love that game.
Classic Blizzard title. That's awesome. Yeah. Are you playing the NES thing or the PC thing or what?
The PC
or Super NES. The other one. Yeah.
It's the best one. I mean, it's the best version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, that's when Blizzard made good games, man. They sold out. I'm kidding. All right. Let's jump to movies.
Movies. I'm in heaven.
Hey, by the way, that I'm in heaven thing,
yep.
That reminds me of BioShock.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Creeping around, hearing it on some record player.
Creepy.
Which, by the way, that brings me to a question. I've been seeing all these screenshots from Fallout 3, which I am very hyped about.
Me too, dude. Oh, very
But
hyped.
Doesn't it remind you a little bit of BioShock?
Well, yeah, because BioShock reminded you of Fallout to begin with. Because the whole BioShock look and feel is total Fallout ripoff. I mean, to a good extent. I don't mean it in a bad way. But that whole
I'm not saying this is like a ripoff or anything. I'm just saying, no, there's a lot of similarity. But personally, I love this style.
I mean, I do too. I love the whole retro 50s kind of weird juxtaposition, crazy futuristic, you know, dawn of nuclear blah blah blah. I like that. I really didn't know where I was going there.
The game sounds so fascinating, Scott.
I didn't know where I was going.
You should write their mark.
I should. All right. Can we briefly, Brian? You saw the movie. I saw as well.
Yes.
I saw it my last day in St. George. Tropic Thunder.
Oh.
Awesome.
This movie sucked.
This movie rocked.
So I'm going to tell you first why I think it sucked, and then you can tell me why you think it rocked.
Because it's been getting good reviews.
And it's been getting great reviews, which is why we thought we'd see it.
It is hilarious.
I felt like. First of all, it's basically a remake of Three Amigos. It's the same story. I'm not giving nothing away here. If you've seen Three Amigos, you've seen Tropic Thunder. Second of all, I like that there's this great cast of all these different kind of guys. Tom Cruise blew my mind. All that kind of stuff was interesting. But I just felt like the premise was just kind of stupid. Like, it just was kind of dumb. It was one of these movies. It was like Dumb and Dumber, but not as good as Dumb and Dumber. But it was that kind of humor.
Were all the funny parts in the trailer?
Yes, in my opinion. There were a couple of moments. There's a moment with a little village kid that's pretty funny. Brian, you know what I mean? On the bridge.
Yeah. And I hated they showed that in the trailer because that was just hilarious.
Well, I didn't see that in the trailer, so I missed
it. If you watched the Red Band trailer.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like there was a lot of sort of try to be offensive for just offensive sake. I think there's a place for that in movies, but sometimes it's just like overkill. Like, what? I don't know. On the whole, if I had to give this a rating out of 10, I'd give it probably a 5. Kim would probably give it a 2.
Wow.
She hated it.
So and Brian,
it
was, so Brian,
now,
what did
now
you,
let's
what
hear
did,
Brian.
Yeah,
yeah,
please.
Yeah. What'd you think?
All right. Okay. If you've seen The Three Amigos, you haven't. Seen Tropic Thunder.
What? That's crap. You know that's a good comparison.
Okay, wait. Scott, let's respect
all right.
Brian's opinion.
Brian has the floor. Sorry, yeah. Brian, take the floor.
That was a horrible analogy. It's nothing like that. First of all, there's four guys, not three. So that totally blows his theory out anyway.
Well, but you know Scott can't count.
Yeah, but no, it's not really... It's really not a buddy movie in that sense because really none of them are buddies. And that's where I think it really deviates. And they're all out for what they're out for. And I think it's a really, you know, you get a lot of navel gazing with Hollywood movies. And this is the first Hollywood navel gazing movie I've seen that is just spot on hilarious.
What is navel gazing? Can someone explain that term? What does that mean?
When you're looking at your own navel, I mean, it's just you're kind of paying very specific attention to yourself. You're paying very specific attention to yourself, and really, I thought that the things that were offensive were really jabs at how actors actually do and act.
But was there any, were you really laughing at this movie? Were there parts where you were laughing out loud?
I was dying.
I guess
laughing.
That was my problem is I just wasn't laughing. I wanted to laugh.
Well, no wonder you went to the movies with a woman who thinks it needs to be a 2.
Well,
that can't
no,
be good.
What I mean is Kim, listen, you guys don't know. Kim loves a funny movie as much as the next guy.
Yeah.
She also loves all the kind of geeky stuff I like anyway. So when she goes to these movies, she expected to be blown away with laughter. Like, this was going to be really funny. She kept looking at me going, dude, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen anyone ever do.
It is very abrasive. There is more gore and blood than you will see in a normal comedy. But if you just roll with it, if you just roll with it, it's fun.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand Jack Black's. I didn't really care much for his character. I feel like out of everybody that was on there, I think he.
I liked him the best.
He failed.
What the hell is wrong with this? I thought he was the. If there was anybody funny, he was him. It was him. I thought.
I thought. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
I think you really should see it. I think you should see it. Go see it. I mean, I think it's really good. I don't think.
Oh, go see it. Make your own judgment. I just think it was.
I mean, obviously.
I think I trust Brian a lot more than I trust Scott.
Thanks a lot.
It has already been established that Scott doesn't actually exist.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, who here, who amongst those of us here has actually met Scott?
Yeah.
That's true.
None of you.
That's true.
Brian has met me. Never mind. We don't want to talk.
Randy has met him, but I maybe I can't believe Randy.
Yeah, maybe he's not telling you the truth.
He's actually the mastermind behind the whole thing anyway, so.
He's the master of something. But listen.
Yeah, see, I had heard that there were going to be, because they call the, Brent Stiller's character a retard, that there were people.
Yeah. That stuff. You know what? Actually, I can see why they might get up in arms, because it was, but the thing is, they're not really making fun of what people think they're making fun of. They're not making fun of retarded people. They're making fun of people that make movies about retarded people.
Yeah.
So they made this, and okay, I will give you this, Brian. There were some really funny references to that specifically when Robert Downey Jr. was talking about how you
different
got
people with favorite parts.
Yeah. Like they talked about Sean Penn in that movie? Sam something.
I am Sam.
Yeah. I am Sam. Talked about how. Who was the other one? They talk about all these ones that just completely overdo
Rain
it.
Man.
Yeah, Rain. Yeah, yeah. You said, but the thing you said about Rain Man was he was autistic. He was never fully on retarded, kind of stuff. And some of that was pretty funny.
Retarded.
Yeah, some of that was pretty funny, and I like the Hollywood self-referential stuff. Some of that was okay, but I just thought some of it was just plain, just kind of dumb humor. Like, oh, that was funny when I was 12. I don't know,
because I finally saw Kung Fu Panda this weekend, and I laughed a lot.
So did we. So did I. Love that movie.
And,
so did Brian.
And a lot of people were telling me, and I think that you were one of them, that it was funny, but it wasn't that funny.
No, I love that movie.
Laughing my head off with that movie.
Dude, you remember wrong. That's one of my favorite movies this year. I loved that movie.
I don't make mistakes, Scott, and I don't take crap from people that don't exist.
Yeah, Panda's. He said Kung Fu Panda wasn't as good as WALL-E, but I said Kung Fu Panda was better than WALL-E.
Oh, okay. See, that's trouble.
I vote for a motion of no confidence in Scott.
Oh, whatever, dude. You haven't even seen WALL-E yet. That hasn't come to your part of the third world yet. You need to wait to see till you see that and then decide. WALL-E was.
What do you
awesome.
Think, Lynn? Have you seen both of them?
I've seen WALL-E. I've not seen Kung Fu Panda. The only thing I've heard about Kung Fu Panda is what I've heard from the show. Yeah. So
we are the source of all good information, so people know.
Well, I do trust what you guys say about stuff. So,
yeah, except today,
I'd have to see Kung Fu Panda.
then go see Mamma Mia if you really trust what I have to say.
Dude, that's guy's night out. That's guy's night out.
There's one movie I will never see. Although my wife will probably make me some night. So.
Oh yeah,
Netflix in the future. I can smell it now. All right. So there's your Tropic Thunder. See it or don't, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. What time is it here? Oh, we have very little time left.
What time is it?
Let's jump right to. Okay, I'm going to ask a hard question that no one knows I'm going to ask. But before I do that, I'm going to tell you that this today marks the 100 year anniversary of the first animated film.
Really? Yeah.
100 years ago today. Who knows what year that would have been, Brian?
Would that be 1825.
You were close the first time.
The thing about Brian is that he's not fully retarded.
Yeah, you're just playing it. You're fine.
1908.
All right, 1908. 100 years ago in 1908, the first animated film of all time was released to the public.
It was a dinosaur.
It was created over the course of 4 months by French caricature artist Emile Cole.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
None of us are doing the right accent. But anyway. Yeah, it's German. Jawohl. By the way, Patrick told me it only takes 5 hours to drive completely across France end to end.
Yeah.
I was saying, well, yeah, it takes me 5 hours to get from Utah to, or from where I live in Utah to Vegas. He's like, oh, I could go across all of France. I could be in Germany in 7. I'm like, what?
In your face.
Anyway. So he became known as the father of the animated cartoon. The short is made up of over 700 drawings, each of which was double exposed, leading to a running time of almost 2 minutes. The title is a reference to the Phantasmagraph. And the name, by the way, the name of it was called Phantasmagory, which sounds like a horror magazine in the U.S., isn't it?
Tom Savini.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. the mid-19th century magic lantern
Bert
was said...
Ford. It, oh, well, I thought we were just randomly throwing names out.
No, not okay. Today. Different day.
Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno. My Ferrigno itches. Title for the show. Cole created the drawings on white paper printed on a negative, and to give it a chalkboard feel. The honor of the Phil's 100th anniversary, a computer animated remake has been produced called Phantasmagory 2008, which I would really like to see. But anyway, so here's the tough question as we admire a Frenchman's fine work. If you had to pick one animated film from 100 years ago till today that you could take with you to a deserted island, and you had to take one with you, but only one, what would it be? Let's start with Brian.
First of all, I don't think it'd be too smart considering there'd be no power on a deserted island, but let's say...
Oh, picky McPicky pants.
Let's say I land on, like, the island from Lost or something, and, you know, I've got all kind of crazy crap to play with. 100 years
I'd
of animation.
I'd be worried about the dangers and all that of the island. I wouldn't have time to watch animation.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say that my favorite animated movie, and I have watched it so many times, everybody's probably sick of it too, and that's going to be Aladdin.
Okay.
I just think it was so much fun, and it was right at the peak for Disney during that time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really loved it.
Mid-90s peak. They did really good with that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that 92? Was it? No, 93. Yeah. 94 was Lion King. 92 was
Hercules? No.
No, Beauty and the Beast, I think.
Yeah.
No, that was before then, I think.
Was it? No, I think it was 92, dude. We were married, and I got married in 92. I don't know. Not you and I were married.
Aladdin.
Aladdin. All right, Aladdin's your pick. Let's go to Len. Len, your favorite.
Well, does
anime.
It have to be a full film, or can it be animated shorts?
Anything. Animated shorts.
Oh, that's your loss.
I've been a Sega shirt. You got to watch that thing over and over again, man.
Well, actually, I could. You know, if I were to choose one animated something to watch, it would be the Bugs Bunny cartoon Little Red Riding Hood, where, hey, Grandma! I love that one.
Yeah, I love that one, too. That
I could
awesome.
Watch that over and over hundreds of times. I love that one.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I'm down with that. All right. Oh, your pick?
Akita.
Oh, wow. Really? Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tetsuo. I could watch that twice, and then I'm done.
That's
Give
because
me
you
off
have
this island.
That's because you have absolutely no tolerance for anybody that lives outside of Utah.
Not true. Not true at all. Although
not true at all. However, I couldn't stay more than half a day in Vegas. Not true at all. Spies.
Oh, come on. It was about a day. All right. Let's say for me, I'm going to go with... this may sound weird to people, but I could watch this over and over and over, and I, in fact, do. I think it's brilliant, and I love it, and it stands on its own, regardless of anything else.
You're
going to
talk about hentai, right? You're
no.
going to talk about hentai.
Yes. Tentacles. Tentacles. I'm going with Wallace and Gromit's The Wrong Trousers.
Nice.
15-minute animated short film, won best animated short that year, the 93, okay. I think it was, and it was... great, and I love it. I don't get enough of it. It's not, again, this is a hard choice because there's so many out there. I'd take The Incredibles. I'd take a lot of old Looney Tunes stuff. I'd take, you know, some of the really old Tex Avery stuff. I mean, there's so many great pieces of animation, but I think that's one I'd go with. I really like it.
I'll tell you another one that I like to watch that not everybody is wild about, but I love watching Monsters, Inc. I don't know why.
I like Monsters,
Inc.
Monsters,
Inc.
is awesome.
Yeah,
it's a fun movie.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I mean, if I could have runners up, I'd also take Wonderful Days. I'd.
Could you pick something made in the U.S., please? Just one. Just one.
Well, I'll agree. I'll agree with what the critics say when Paprika came out, keeping in mind, of course, that most of you think Paprika is no good, but
I think it's something you put on fish, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
But what the critics said, comparing Oriental animation to American animation, is Oriental animators are reaching for the stars, and American animators are still playing in the sandbox.
But do they like to be called Oriental? Is the question.
Well, I'm just saying Oriental because I don't want to refer precisely to Japanese.
Oh,
Korean animation is amazing.
Yeah,
and who says that? Some Oriental.
Filipino animation is just burning down the house.
Yeah,
man.
I was going to ask you, when is that going to start taking off and fulfill the promise of the Filipino animation?
This fall.
Basically, I love Oriental animation is because they don't have such a kiddie mentality. I mean, they make movies.
Did you say kiddie or you say kiddie?
11-year-olds can really do. They can draw really well.
You say
all the 11-year-olds in the sweatshop.
Did you say kiddie or
kitty?
All right, I'm kitty. Making sure I heard it right.
I wanna leave it on record that Scott Johnson said.
Oh, I'll rooster it out. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, I'll say five times.
Oh no!
For all that,
that's too much work. I have the mute button right here. All right.
You know, yeah. If I had a runner up, I think it might have been the first 40 minutes of WALL-E.
Mm. Yeah.
The first 40 minutes of WALL-E is genius.
I agree. Man,
genius. I mean, if they could have ended there, and I would have gone, I've just seen the greatest animated film of all time.
I just wanted them to keep
Scott,
going like that.
Yeah, I did too.
No, you wouldn't. If you would have been bitching because it's only 40 minutes.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't end. What the hell?
Also known as Captain America, would be able to force me to take some American animation to the island.
Yes.
I'd consider, I would seriously consider Monster House.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love Monster House.
That's a good one, too. Yeah.
See, Owen and I agree all the time. We just don't admit it. Monster House is great. And I like Akira a lot. And I also like that floating house one. And the one where they swallow the big black oil creature swallows like a whole car and then barfs it up. Whatever that one is. That one's good.
Fern Gully?
Yeah, Fern Gully.
Balto. Are you talking about Balto?
No. But I do love the Secret of Nim. Secret of Nim is awesome, by the way.
Oh, what about American Story? The one with
Philo.
What's his name?
Philo the mouse. Or Milo or
American Tail.
Oh, American Tail.
Yeah, American Tail. Oh. What was the name of the little rat in that movie?
That was Philo.
Fievel. That's
Fievel.
It. Philo.
There are no cats in there.
Dude, the first Land Before Time was pretty good. The first one. The first one. Yeah, forget about the
all
next
dogs.
12. I just mean the first one.
All dogs go to heaven.
Yeah. By the way, those were all made by...
wait a minute.
What's his name?
You know which animated movie was awesome, and I watched over and over and over and over as a kid, and I would not mind watching it again?
What?
Secret of Nim.
The old animated Chipmunks movie. The one where they race around the world in a hot air balloon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. That's a good one. That's a good
one. I love
one.
That movie.
This explains a lot about you. And by the way, someone, Mean Gene, mentioned in the, Carol's Mazand mentioned that, or someone did, Iron Giant.
That's a great movie.
So I'm that's my alternate as well. All right. Well, that's going to about do it, folks. This show is long as hell. Glenn, it's a pleasure to have you here, dude.
Oh, you got to have me on more often, dude.
I agree. We occasionally have Brandy pop in. We have other people pop in here and there. Brian Ibbett's going to come in next week for a little while.
Oh, nice. He's going to give you hell, too, for not meeting him.
I've already talked to him. He's good. but he's coming on, so, you know, it's always just good to have these good peeps out there we can bring in once in a while. So thanks
for
doing
that. I love being on the show, but I love being a listener as well. I listen to you guys every week.
Except this one. You'll avoid this one.
No, I'm not gonna download this.
Doesn't even exist as far as you're concerned. just real quickly, just tell everybody how they can get a hold of us if they want to follow us all on Twitter. You can follow O at OAbnormal. That's twitter.com/OAbnormal. You can follow me at twitter.com/extralife. You can follow Len at twitter.com/jawbonelen.
Oh, Jawbone Radio.
I thought it was Jawbone Len.
Oh, Jawbone Radio.
Oh, damn it.
How much you follow him, huh?
No, I'm following. He's on there. I got him.
He's following. I'm following you, Owen.
Yeah, everyone's following.
I follow the Robster.
And
oh, the Robster too, yeah.
Brian's still waiting. Brian's still waiting for that Robster to pay out. He's still waiting for that to be the best thing ever. And then Brian's at /Mission Deep.
Yes.
So that's if right. you want to catch us all there, you can do that. Also check out, of course, jawboneradio.com. You can follow their show. The show's awesome. You need to definitely check it out. For O's Comic, make sure you check out commissioncomic.com. I mean, you know, he's kind of a jerk, but it really is a great comic strip. Brian, of course, at missiondeep.com, as well as comicscoasttocoast.com. And everything you need to know about what the crap I got going on, you can find at myextralife.com. That's the blog, that's the comic, that's the forums, that's this show, that's everything else that you may ever need to know. If you want to be a part of the show, send us your emails. That address is extraliferadio@gmail.com. You can send us audio files there as well, and you are encouraged to do so. What else? I guess that's it. Thanks to our sponsors again, GoDaddy.com, YouBuyNow.com. They're awesome, and we really appreciate their support. Also want to thank Sebastian for mashups. Want to thank Scott Fletcher for his fine voice work. Rob Gahubers for all his fine music that he provides this show, as well as Skyhawk. And everyone else who helps make this show what it is and will eventually be after our final show 200. Maybe I'm kidding. I don't know. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week for show number 193. Take care and have a good week.
Randy. Oh,
you know, I got the run. I'm going to take him outside and freaking, you know, poke him in the butt.
Thanks for that lackluster introduction.
I'm sick of you.
The local news is full of poo. Can this sound like trucks picking up the product?
Did the drug boat stop by?
Can't forget about the Vidya games. You got to pee when you're next to Randy.
Official Mowgli replica candy bar.
I'm so happy that I'm alive for Nathan Hot Dogs. And my wife's marriage with me and The Dark Knight.
Ryan doesn't like to think.
What you're saying is just because something's different doesn't mean it has to be the same. I sure enjoyed that, and that was long as hell.
Yeah, it was good.
Ah, yeah, dude, my own lightsaber.
What'd you do that for?
I mean, what'd you do that for?
Your mother and I were terribly worried.
Belly shots and naked twister.
And then this one cat just sort of licking the blood off its paws. Burn the MP3! Burn it! I'm trying, Miss Sebastian. I'm trying to get where I need to go. Cat savior of planet Earth. Geometry Wars waltzed in and hit it on the head, drug it out, raped the body, and then peed on it. I see him hit the dirt and roll like six times.
Meh. You would like to see people die? Marvel against old Western film heroes with the Pope.
Screw that. We're going to move on.
Now I'm going to screw George Lucas and his minions.
I'm talking into a pretty gold microphone. This microphone is so pretty, I just want to talk into it all day long.
I think I might have fixed my audio problems. Permanently. Yeah.
But I kept expecting to open the elevator and blood would come out, and two little girls would say, "Come out and play, Scott."
From the sands of the universe, with a smile on the sun, hold your sword up in the air and stick it up your bum. Do they do that kind of stuff like they do everybody else?